Good morning. I guess the microphone's working. We greet you in the name of Jesus. We ask his blessings upon this service. Today's message, the Lord directed me to speak mainly towards the youth, and they're sitting towards the back. Brother Donnie said with this microphone, I can go to the back of the church and speak if I want, but I guess it's best if I stay up here. A while back, we spoke the first of a three-part series on postmodernism. Moment of Decline described how postmodernism has affected the Bible-believing church. In Moment of Decision, we spoke of how postmodernism has influenced parenting. Today, in Moment of Division, we direct our thoughts towards our youth and how postmodernism has affected our young people in how they answer the question, the age-old question, what is truth? Imagine you go to bed. You young people, imagine you go to bed, and when you wake up, you're in California. You're in a luxury house. People are serving you food. There are no parents around, no one to tell you what to do. How would you act? What choices would you make? How would you like something like that? Daniel didn't have to pretend. It happened. The king of Babylon sent men to gather the brightest youth from all the empires that he had captured. His plan was to bring them back to Babylon, acquaint them with Babylonian culture, allow them to study, learn the Chaldean language and literature, and eat the king's best food. He even gave them Babylonian names. And this was to go on for 3 years. Then the king would pick the best to have positions in his kingdom. This is where Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azrael, this is where they woke up one day. No parents, no grandparents, no tattletale brothers and sisters, alone in a different culture. What did he do? Daniel soon faced a moment of division. He was ordered to eat the king's meat and to drink the king's wine. Now, Daniel knew that this was against the truth of Scripture, because in Leviticus 11, verse 47, it says, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. The king's food would contain unclean meat from animals forbidden to eat. He would be sinning against the truth of God's word. And he didn't want to go against God's word. Yet if he didn't eat of that food, he would have to eat separate food. He would possibly have to eat away from the other boys. He would possibly have to eat at different times from the other youth. He would be laughed at. He would be made fun of. It was his moment of division. Choose the king's food and divide himself away from truth, or else choose Paul's and divide himself away from the culture he was in. You know what Paul says, don't you? It's mainly vegetables. In Daniel's moment of division, he chose to be divided from the popular crowd and eat vegetables. Daniel 1 verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. Brother Donnie, I'm going to turn this off. Okay. Well, so much for that trial. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. In other words, he chose carrots and potatoes over a shady maple smorgasbord, because that was what God asked him to do. In his moment of division, he was willing to divide himself from the great king of Babylon. In his moment of division, he was willing to divide himself from all the other youth. In his moment of division, he was willing to divide himself from the position that he was hoping to obtain. He chose truth, division unto God, instead of being integrated into the culture. Today's Christian youth face an enemy far more dangerous than the king of Babylon. This enemy seeks to divide you young people from truth. It seeks to integrate you into this world's culture. The enemy is actually a way of thinking called postmodernism. And postmodernism, in simple terms, is the thought pattern Satan has led our culture into how to determine what is truth. To put it simple, postmodernism says truth can't be known. Therefore, truth is different for everyone. And therefore, the views everybody holds must be tolerated by all, since all are right. That is the enemy that you face. I was wondering, if Daniel had been a Christian who had accepted the postmodern philosophy, how might he have responded differently compared to what we read in Scripture? I came up with four questions Daniel might have asked. Question number one, a postmodern Daniel might have asked, why is eating the king's food such a big issue? Postmodernism says, since you can't know truth, don't focus on it. Since you can't know truth, don't be dogmatic about doctrine. Since you can't know truth, it can't be that important. Rather, focus on things we can all agree on. Focus on peripheral issues. Focus on trivial. Why don't we just all focus on simply worshiping God, praying and fasting? But don't focus on doctrine, because doctrine and truth, and we can't be sure about truth. A postmodern Daniel would have said, why is eating the king's food such a big issue? As long as I still believe in my heart about God, as long as I still pray and fast, as long as I still love God, why focus on the truth of Leviticus 11? Is it that important? Does it really mean what it says? Can I be sure it really means what it says? Shouldn't I try to focus on things that we all agree on? A postmodern Daniel would have divided himself from the truth of Leviticus 11 and sided with the culture. I'm glad the real Daniel, in his moment of division, decided he could know truth, and he separated from his culture. If you woke up in California, no parents, no one who knew you, what would you do? Would you still wear your head veiling? Would you still dress modestly? Would you still follow the principle of non-resistance? Would you still follow the truth about worldly entertainment? Would you separate yourself and stand for truth, or would you assimilate into the culture? Youth, it's your moment of division. The second question a postmodern Daniel would have asked is this: can eating the king's food be wrong when it doesn't feel wrong? At one time, truth was objective. It was something that couldn't be argued with. Like I mentioned in a previous sermon, if I say this pulpit is wood, that's an objective truth. You can't argue with it. However, a subjective truth is a truth that depends on the subject. If I say I'm hot, well, you might feel it's cold, or someone else might see it, subject might think it's just right. It depends on the subject. It depends on the internal feelings of the person. A postmodern Daniel would have asked, can eating this food be wrong when it doesn't feel wrong? God brought me into this land. He knew the food I was going to be served. So inside me, it seems like it should be okay to eat it. Everyone else is eating the king's food. They're not getting struck down by lightning. Inside me, it feels that it would be the right thing to do. You see, a postmodern Daniel would have divided himself from the objective, concrete Word of God and would have went with his subjective, internal feelings. I'm glad the real Daniel decided the black and white of God's Word is something you can't argue with. I'm glad the real Daniel decided that the truth of God's Word far outweighs any internal feelings that he had. You Daniels here today, I'm speaking to you sisters also. Do you judge truth by feelings subjectively? Or do you take the Bible to be the objective truth of God? Your emotions might tell you, go ahead. Your internal feelings say it can't be wrong. Do you listen to your feelings? The music you listen to, it might not feel wrong. The way you dress might not feel wrong. Don't trust your feelings. Go with God's Word. It's concrete. You can stand on it. The third question a postmodern Daniel might have asked is this: should I not show toleration to the viewpoints of the others who say eating the king's meat is okay? By me not eating the king's meat, I'm silently saying you're wrong in your position, your viewpoints. By me dividing myself away from their food, I'm saying that my way is better than your way. Maybe I should back down and eat the king's food. I mean, I don't want to be judgmental. I don't want to be condemning of the other's ways. I need to show their ideas respect. I need to show them that there's good in all viewpoints. And I need to show toleration. It's a loving thing to do. I'm glad the real Daniel chose to be intolerant. Brothers and sisters, it might seem the loving thing to do, but toleration for all views of truth is from the pits of hell. John 14:6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Only his truth can free society. Let me ask you this. If you saw your sister taking what she thought was a pill, but you knew it was poison, would you show toleration to her viewpoint? I want you to think about that inside your mind. Would you show toleration to her viewpoint? You feel that that's a pill inside your heart. I feel it's poison inside my heart. But I'm going to respect and tolerate your viewpoint. Would you do that? No. You would objectively say, stop. Don't do it. Young people, I want to encourage you, don't be ashamed of truth. You have the words of life. Through the Holy Spirit, you have the answers. Don't be embarrassed to apply them to your life. Don't be embarrassed to tell other people about truth. Our prayer should be like Ephesians 6:19. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love. Are you willing to speak the truth in love? Daniel was willing. He was willing to sacrifice the relationship he had with the others in order to stand firm on truth. You know, there were probably other Hebrew youth there who did eat of the king's meat and did drink the king's wine. Daniel did not compromise to keep things running smoothly with his friends. You see, the point here is this. Truth can never be compromised in an attempt to sustain or build or keep relationships. Never compromise. One balance point we should notice, though, as you see this, it jumps out at us that Daniel, he was not smug or self-righteous about his adherence to truth. He discreetly appealed his situation. He was a picture of meekness as he pursued truth. In Daniel, there was no holier-than-thou attitude. There was no looking down on the others who did not follow his viewpoint of truth. He simply pursued truth with quietness and meekness for God's glory and not his own glory. The fourth question a postmodern Daniel might have asked is this: should not eat what everyone else is eating to stay relevant to this Babylonian culture? You know, the buzzword today in Christianity is relevancy. The word relevance means to be practical and applicable to things at hand. For example, Pennsylvania Dutch is not a language of relevance in the city of York. It's not needed in York. It doesn't fit or apply to the city of York. Pennsylvania Dutch is not relevant to York. Well, postmodern Christianity says we need to make Christianity relevant to our culture so we can win them to Christ. And since our postmodern culture doesn't like doctrine, well, we won't emphasize doctrine. Since our postmodern culture doesn't like preaching, we won't emphasize preaching. Since our postmodern culture doesn't like to be told absolute truth, we won't emphasize absolute truth. Then we will be relevant and we can win society to Christ. Compromise with truth to win people to Jesus. Daniel could have said, and it would seem like it would have made a lot of sense, shouldn't I eat the king's food to stay relevant to the culture and be able to influence them? By dividing myself from them, I'm putting a wall up between myself and between this Babylonian culture. I need to be more like them. I'll eat the king's food. Then I'll be able to tell the other youth at the table about Jehovah. If I eat the king's food, then I'll get that position as ruler with the king, and someday I can influence the whole empire about Jehovah. How can I do that if I divide myself from the culture? It sounds so good. It sounds so right. The problem is, when we compromise to be relevant to the world, we are no longer relevant to God. When we de-emphasize doctrine, we are de-emphasizing Jesus Christ, because he is doctrine, he is truth. When we don't focus on absolute truth, we are rejecting Jesus Christ, because he is truth. Sure, Daniel would have been relevant to the culture, but how could he have won them to his God by rejecting God's word as found in Leviticus 11? Young people, be relevant to God. When you try to be like the world in order to win the world to Christ, you will never, never, never succeed. I should add it one more, never. It can't happen. Jesus said, let your light shine in a dark world. That's being different. Christ called us to pursue pureness and holiness. That's being different. Only in being different can you show them who Christ is. Only in being different can you show them examples of truth. Never compromise. The ends never justifies the means. Compromising doctrine, truth in our life, or in our worship service, in order to win people to Christ, is never right in God's sight, and in reality, it never works. Your moment of division. Will you compromise in order to stay relevant to men, or will you stay relevant to God? When you were little, you all probably sang the song, Dare to be a Daniel. Can I see how many people remember Could you put your hand up if you remember singing that? Dare to be a Daniel. I want to give you young people three dares for your Christian walk. Three dares. First of all, dare to stand up against the spirit of subjective truth. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The doctrine that truth is subjective, that truth is different for every person, is one of Satan's most elaborate schemes to deceive. Will you dare to stand up against this spirit? George Barna, in his book Generation Next, and this is speaking about Bible-believing teens, he says, but teens are caught in a paradox. At the same time as 3 out of 4 assert that the Bible provides a clear and totally accurate description of moral truth, a large majority of these same individuals argue that there is no such thing as absolute truth. This is clearly a self-contradictory perspective. Unquote. In other words, Christian teens, Bible-believing teens, believe in the inerrancy and authority of Scripture, but the application of it can be different for every teen. So in reality, the truth of the Bible is compromised, and the Bible becomes worthless as a guide. Barna, in that same book, also asked Christian teens, again, this is Christian teens, in a survey if they agreed with these three statements. Statement number one. What is right for one person in a given situation might not be right for another person in a similar situation. Do you know 91% agreed with that statement? Statement number two. When it comes to matters of morals and ethics, truth means different things to different people. No one can be absolutely positive that they know the truth. 80% agreed with that statement. Statement number three, there is no such thing as absolute truth. Two people could define truth in conflicting ways and both be correct. Would you believe 72% of born-again teens agreed with that statement? I want to encourage you young people. What your grandmother believed as truth is still truth for you. Guaranteed. If it was truth 1 million years ago, it's going to be truth 1 million years from now. Truth does not change. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I was wondering, what if we would look at traffic rules in a subjective way? Can you imagine that? If we looked at traffic rules in a subjective way, to me, a red light might mean stop. But to you, it might mean go. To someone else, a red light might mean pause. But what does it matter? Let's just live in peace and love each other and do whatever we feel like at a stoplight. And let's not be judgmental of each other. Brothers and sisters, that's a recipe for chaos on the roadways. And when we apply subjective truth to our spiritual life, it's a recipe for chaos on our roadway of life. Young people, avoid spiritual chaos. Resist the spirit of subjective truth. Live by God's objective word. Hold it dear to your heart. Dare to stand up against the spirit of subjective truth. The second dare is this. Dare to defy the spirit of doctrinal de-emphasis. The spirit of doctrinal de-emphasis seeks to divert you from Scripture's objective truth and instead focus on other areas. Defy that spirit. Have your time of devotions where Scripture is emphasized. Feed on truth. Feed on God's word. Also, listen to Christian music that emphasizes doctrine. Much contemporary music, much praise music. It's doctrinally void. It might make you emotionally high. It might make you lift your hands to the Lord, but it de-emphasized truth, doctrines of God. Scripture says, they that worship him must worship him in spirit
but it says also, and in truth. Listen to music that emphasizes truth. Also, the thought came to me, I don't know if you young people thought of this or not. Someday, you young people who are sitting in the back, someday you will be in charge of this congregational service. If the Lord tarries, that's a fact. You will be preaching. You will be preachers' wives. You will be having opening devotions. You will be having closing devotions. You will be at council meetings making decisions. I want to encourage you, as you take charge, Lord willing, keep doctrine the focus through preaching and teaching. Avoid Christian movies in worship. Avoid drama within the church service. Paul said, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. Keep the focus in the future when you're in charge. Keep the focus of our preaching service. Keep it on preaching and teaching and truth about God. Defy the spirit of doctrinal de-emphasis. You young people, you're also being flooded with Christian information like no other generation has. Information on dating. Information on how to handle your money. Christian information on having a good marriage. Christian information on raising children. And the point isn't that some of this information isn't good. The point is, if this information takes the place of even greater truth, it becomes wrong. You know that the information that will influence you and your future spouse and your children and this church, the information that will influence you the most is the hard doctrine of God's word. That is where the power is. Knowledge about the laws of sowing and reaping. Knowledge about heaven and hell. Knowledge about the Trinity. Knowledge about the person of Christ. Knowledge about the judgment. Brothers and sisters, keep focusing on hard doctrine. Defy the spirit of doctrinal de-emphasis. I dare you. The third dare is a positive dare. Dare to stand on the rock, Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock, want to finish that? And that rock was Christ. A rock is something that is concrete. It's hard. It doesn't change. Build on Jesus Christ and Him alone. Luke 16, starting at verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Young people, build your house on the rock, Jesus Christ. Daniel chose to divide himself from the Babylonian culture. He chose to build his young life on his relationship with God as revealed in his word. He built his life on truth. And I want to challenge you to do the same. And I know that you're trying. You're seeking. I know. I want to praise you, young people, for having your devotions and attending Bible studies and seeking to love the Lord and follow His word. I dare you, keep it up. Build even more on the rock, Jesus Christ. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Allow the truth of God's word to be the foundation under your life. You know, whenever in our moment of division, when we draw away from untruth, we are always drawn closer to something else. When we choose to divide from untruth, you know what? We're always drawn closer to Jesus Christ. Always. Daniel divided himself from his culture by not eating the king's meat in accordance with Leviticus 11. Yet look how it drew him closer to God and how God blessed him. Daniel 1:17. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God blessed them abundantly. He even blessed Daniel with that high position. Even though he didn't compromise to stay relevant, God blessed him. God blessed him with visions, interpreting dreams, the lion's den. He spoke to the angel Gabriel, all because in his moment of division, he chose to divide himself from his culture and instead be relevant to God. He built on the rock, Jesus Christ. He purposed in his heart to stand for truth. Young people, do you want blessed? When there is a group watching a video and a scene comes on that shows a woman's flesh, it's your moment of division. Will you stay and watch and be part of that culture? Or will you divide yourself away from it? When a group of teens are meeting on a Sunday, and you have a choice to watch a Christian movie or attend a doctrine-based church service, it's your moment of division. Are you willing to divide yourself from the group and build on the rock, Christ Jesus? When you feel pressure to feed the flesh while dating, pressure to conform to the world, pressure to conform to carnal Christianity, it's your moment of division. Are you willing to follow Satan's subjective truth or follow the objective rock, Christ Jesus? Will you go by your feelings or will you stand on the firmness of God's word? Your moment of division. I dare you to stand for truth. It will affect the rest of your life, guaranteed. What will you do? We divide now. We choose now. It's our choice. But do you realize there's coming a time where we won't have a choice? We divide now, but sometime it is coming a day when it will be taken out of our hands and we will not have a choice. There will be a supernatural division that God is in control of and we have no choice in. Matthew 3, verse 12, just one of many illustrations. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This will be God's moment of division regarding your eternal state. The hour is coming. In closing, I'd like to leave you with this verse. And young people, I want you to consider, but all of us, consider its implications. John 5, 28 to 30. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. God's moment of division. He will choose. We will not choose then. It will be too late. And I want to ask you, where will you be at that moment of division? May God bless you.